This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, guys? Rugged Nation News Podcast. Sixth attempt here. We're trying to record this for the sixth attempt. So many disruptions here in the bowels of Toyota Center. But I think this is the one. This one feels good. I'm feeling pretty good about this one. So, yeah, we are live after a good win for the Rockets. How do you feel about how they play tonight, Ali Khan?
Hey, Salman, how are you? Hope you're doing well. I really do think the Rockets played possibly one of their best games of the season. I think the best game for them before this was that game against Indiana last Monday.
Right.
And they brought up a great performance. I think this time around, their offense helped ignite most of all of this. They, at one point, were shooting 20 of 40 from three-point land. Phenomenal percentage. So most threes they've made all season. Before this, it was 16. Defensively, they've ranked... before this game, they were seventh in defensive efficiency over the past five games. I think tonight they're sixth after tonight's game, Salman, if that's correct. Mm-hmm. Defense has been there. They've been playing well. Their switching defense has come alive, especially after those practices that they had, after those big losses at home. You know, it's a lot of the time it's mainly about shots falling. And tonight they did. And once those three-pointers fell, the Rockets kept attacking the basket as well. James Harden, Chris Paul finishing more inside. Chris Paul told us after the game he still missed a couple layups and he wants to get those improved. But the Rockets have to be happy with how their stars carried them. I think at the end of the first half, out of the 76 points they scored, Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capella combined for 56 of them. When your star players, the three guys you pay the most money to, come out and play this well offensively, you don't have a lot to complain about.
Right, yeah. It really did feel like it was the shooting that carried them. And as of late, you're right, the defense has been really good. It's been really good. You mentioned that stat about them being sixth in the league defensively over the past six games. They have been... And a lot of this is because of Gary Clark. The emergence of Gary Clark has been huge. Gary Clark, the two-way player that is just lighting the Rockets on fire right now. His role on the team is increasing day by day. Minutes are going up every single game. And this is what's led to Carmelo Anthony becoming expendable. And we should probably transition to that. The story of this entire day, and it's been an exhausting story to follow. It was bizarre. Like, okay, so the Rockets have been denying that this rumor that the Rockets, that, you know, they are indeed moving on from Carmelo Anthony all day. And Daryl Morey came out and, you know, announced out of nowhere that he was going to do a media.
By the way, let me you know, say this before someone keeps going. Daryl Morey, you know, announced that he was going to speak to the media 10 minutes before he did.
Right.
Now, that is very rare and very bizarre. This does not happen every day here at Toyota Center.
Yeah, like, literally, I arrived and I found out that Daryl Morey was going to speak. It was one of those things where, like, I was prepared for Mike D'Antoni to speak at 4:15, and when Daryl spoke, it was bizarre because he literally came out and unabashedly denied all reporting about Carmelo Anthony and his future on the team, and it just seems like what the Rockets are doing behind closed doors is directly contradicting what they're saying to the media, and it's bizarre. I don't I still don't know what the hell is going to happen. Although it does seem like the players and coaches, according to Tim McMahon of ESPN, just reporting now as we record this podcast, do believe that Carmelo Anthony's played his last game as a Houston Rocket. And it's just, again, a really weird story to cover because the team is directly to the public contradicting what's going on behind closed doors. It's just weird.
And this makes you think who brought this upon. Right. For this to happen, because we just talked to Chris Paul post game. So when we were talking to Chris Paul, he's only had positive things. He says, you know, Melo's been here, he's been working hard. Then at the end, he says, we'll see what happens.
Right.
Coach D'Antoni, he was asked, is Melo going to be coming on this recent, you know, trip? Rockets already left. They're already on the way to Denver right now as we speak. He said, he doesn't know yet. We'll see.
Right.
That to me was very telling. And that
Mike D'Antoni said the same thing in his post game presser. He said, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So that we'll see is very telling here.
Right.
Is it that, you know, and, you know, we're going to talk about what Daryl Morey said, but it makes me feel like that it was more from Carmelo than it was, you know, from the team. The way it's going about. If Chris Paul is coming and saying, we'll see, you know, is that more so that Carmelo is maybe not happy with how Gary Clark has taken over his minutes? Because tonight, Gary Clark basically played Carmelo's role for him.
Right.
He transitioned from that 3 to a 4. And when I asked Gary Clark afterwards, you know, you're going against Sabonis and stuff like that. How does that feel? It's like, you know, it'll take me a couple games to get used to going against bigger guys. Right. So I think he's also mentally getting the transition. Hey,
the team has told him, you're playing the backup 4 from now on. It does feel like that.
And so I mean, I think when all of this adds up together, you're seeing, you know, Melo happy. He's not playing the role he wants to. And this is where we are.
Right. When you ask the team about Carmelo, everybody, I'm talking Chris Paul, Mike D'Antoni, James Harden, every single significant player in this organization, and Daryl Morey, they all had positive things to say about Carmelo Anthony. So it does, I think you're right in that assumption that it is coming from Carmelo's camp, because nobody on the Rockets seems willing to openly say, yeah, we're discussing his role, you know, all that coach speak stuff about we're moving on from a player. Nobody said that. All indication is that they want to keep Carmelo Anthony, but Carmelo Anthony, behind closed doors, is telling people, yeah, it's not working out here. It's not working out here. And God knows what his reasoning is, but, I mean, we are 11 games into this season. It does, when that reporting came out from Adrian Wojnarowski last night, it did seem bizarre that the Rockets would pull the plug this soon. So, I mean, and you're right, Gary Clark has, again, he has come alive as of late, and his role within the Rockets is increasing day by day. His minutes are going up every game. He's been fantastic defensively, playing even more minutes than James Ennis, which is surprising. And it's been a revelation for the Rockets, like just to have a two-way player come alive like this and play heavy minutes for you and fill that backup four that you've been so desperately trying to fill.
I one quick thing about what Morey said, and I'll share my thoughts on Carmelo, his role. Morey was asked in the presser, hey, you know, do you know if Carmelo still wants to be a Rocket? His response, you're asking the wrong guy. Everything I can tell, yes, absolutely.
Right.
Let's end it at that in terms of you guys, listeners, you guys can add up the dots there. We've kind of laid it out for you about what's happening. But, you know, and to the point about Gary Clark, Carmelo Anthony was brought here to be essentially Ryan Anderson 2.0. But a Ryan Anderson who could do more off the dribble and who can possibly, you know, add a little bit more facilitation to the offense, add somebody who can run the pick and pop more effectively with Chris Paul.
And someone maybe that you can defend the switch a little bit better than Ryan Anderson could.
Yeah. And so here are my points about Carmelo Anthony. You know, come in, you run the pick and pop with Chris Paul to start for the second unit. Okay. It's decent, but he didn't shoot that well on those pick and pops. You're like, okay, if he can't give you that, can he, you know, be a good secondary facilitator for you with that bench unit with, you know, Eric Gordon and Chris Paul? Not many layups. Not many assists for him either in the half court. Okay, if you can't, you know, if you're not able to pass the ball, can you be a spot-up shooter? He was a spot-up shooter. That's what he was. But when you're looking at the role the Rockets need, you have to be more consistent. He had a big game against Brooklyn where he went for 6 of 9 from three-point range. But after that, he struggled shooting from outside. Then you talk about him in the post. The Rockets fed him the ball, you know, inside against mismatches.
Every single time he was on a smaller defender, Carmelo Anthony had that basketball.
And you know, more times than not, he made those shots. But at the end of the day, you know what? offensively, it wasn't consistent enough. Even though he rarely scored in the teens, it just wasn't consistent enough. I think ultimately, yes, we can talk about his offense. Where this was a nail in the coffin for him was defensively. Gary Clark, just coming out there and say it, is the better help defender. He's a much better weak side shot blocker than Carmelo Anthony is.
Leacon coming out with the hot takes. Gary Clark's a better defender than Carmelo Anthony.
Okay, my God. Now let me
Whoa.
Put the caveat Hold on. Here.
I gotta sit down here for a second. Let me adjust my seating.
You know, I'll make you, you know, start sweating a little bit. Carmelo Anthony, you know, is only allowing, I think, 0.7 points per possession on isolation plays. It's pretty good for Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
But the teams aren't targeting him on switches as much as you think. Yes, we see Donovan Mitchell. Yes, we've seen, you know, teams do it. Teams are more targeting him on the weak side.
Right.
And the reason why is that because of his defensive awareness, because he's just not a good weak side shot blocker. And if you're going to play him at power forward, you're going to expect it to happen. Clint Capella and Isaiah Hartenstein, every time they're in the game, teams will switch them out to the perimeter. When that happens, you are depending on your small forward or your power forward to come over and rotate and contest at the rim. Carmelo wasn't just good enough. Was not good enough.
And it really killed you when you had James Harden on the floor at the same time with him. Like, it was just, those lineups were brutal defensively.
When you get beat off the dribble, number one. And number two, when Clint Capella's away, you have to have that weak side shot blocker make a play. And that just was not happening. Yeah. And when that doesn't happen, that's what allowed the Rockets to give so many points in the paint. I'm not going to say it was all on Carmelo.
No. Okay, listen. Hold on. I want to make a point here. Carmelo, at the rim, his weak side help protection was just... I don't like using it. He was soft. He didn't meet guys at the rim. He didn't contest guys. He didn't put his chest...
That's the best way
guys.
To put it. Yep.
Like, and I hate using that word. I think that word is used all the time wrong. And I couldn't think of a better word to describe him at the rim. He's just, and it's not his fault. That's not what Carmelo Anthony was brought onto this team to do. He was brought on this team to make uncontested three-pointers. And he's just not hitting them up enough at a clip to where it justifies keeping him on the team. And when you have Gary Clark come in like this and presume a bigger role and play your role better than you have, I mean, I just don't see a future with this team. I just don't. The Rockets can deny it all they want. I can't see a situation in which Carmelo Anthony suits up again for this team. I would be thoroughly surprised if he plays again. I would be floored if he plays another game for the Rockets. He's legitimately sick right now, by the way. He's actually, a lot of people have assumed that this is, you know, just... This is just coach speak and saying, you know, like the Rockets are moving beyond the scenes. It's not true. He's actually sick right now. But I do believe that the Rockets are going to take this opportunity to part ways with him. And I think Carmelo is going to find a new home by the end of the week. I don't think
Carmelo... End of the week?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to happen pretty fast.
All right, Salman. Well, you spewing the hot takes. I got to sit down for this. You know, but... With Carmelo, you know,
we have 7 days. I'm just saying, it's a Sunday.
Okay, all right. You're gonna throw that out there. No, I mean, okay, relax. Give yourself some more time.
It's Sunday. I'm not giving us. It's Sunday. End of the week is Saturday. Like we have time. All right, go ahead. No, cheers.
I think ultimately, let's talk about some Gary Clark here.
Right.
Because yes, Carmelo, you know, according to McMahon, has played his last game, according to Rockets coaches and players, but Gary Clark has earned this playing time.
All right.
You know, we talk about his defense. We talk about, you know, all the stuff he's doing defensively. I think the biggest thing now with him getting playing time is how can he continue to contribute offensively. Tonight, he was 1 of 4 from three, which he's shooting sub 30% from the perimeter. I think that's not good enough.
Right.
However, I will say that he is working his butt off pre-game, practice, working on those perimeter set shots where he comes off on pick and pop. I've seen him work on that shot with the training staff, not with the training staff, sorry, with the coaches pregame. Tonight, his first three-pointer actually came off a pick and pop. So the Rockets are getting him in spots where he's comfortable in. That left corner, that left slot, you know, as one of his three-point makes came from there, I think he needs to continue to work on that, make those shots, because like tonight, teams, if switches aren't working, teams will trap Chris. Teams will trap James. And when that happens, and when Clint gets the ball in the short roll, he's going to find an open shooter in the corner. And 9 times out of 10, PJ Tucker will be covered. It'll be Gary Clark shooting a three. And you need Gary Clark to start knocking those down. You know, you need Gary Clark to basically make that defender who's deciding between PJ and Gary and who to defend on, you need him to pick Gary. You need him to make it more difficult on that defender. And I think ultimately that's where Gary Clark needs to continue to develop. Yes, he's been great defensively. Yes, he's helping secure defensive rebounds. Yes, he's helping secure offensive rebounds. But at the end of the day, his playing time will only be consistent if he can consistently himself hit those three-pointers.
The Rockets are only allowing 97.5 points per game when Gary Clark's on the floor. That's nuts. That's like nobody on the team is allowing less than 100, and Gary Clark's out here. And he's
barely on the perimeter. Right. He is barely on the perimeter. I think that's where you also see teams now. They know Gary Clark is great around the rim. And they know he can, you know, he can post. He plays some nice post defense today against Sabonis, and he's only going to get better. He just seems to learn after every game with more reps. He gets better and better. I think ultimately teams are going to start, you know, putting him out on switches. And once that happens, we'll see how he fares on those switches one-on-one.
Right.
I think right now, though, teams are more, you know, buying on the fact that, hey, if we take Capella away from the rim, or hey, if we take Hardenstein away from the rim, we'll take our chances with Gary Clark. But Gary Clark has been doing a hell of a job inside.
Right, yeah. I mean, and the offense is a concern. The Rockets are only scoring 98.6 points per 100 possessions when he's on the floor. But he is so good defensively that he is still a positive plus 1.1 per 100 possessions when he's on the floor. That's insane. And I think the Rockets are going to, I think the Rockets are going to seriously consider playing him heavy minutes. Like, I'm talking 25. Maybe close to 30. Like he's already played 175 minutes. You want to know how many minutes Gerald Green's played? A guy who's played all 11 games? 202 minutes. That's nuts. That's nuts. Like for a guy who's only played...
Gerald Green, by the way, was the eighth guy in the rotation coming into the season.
Yeah. And to be that close to Gerald in minutes, when you've only really played this last five, six games, like that's nuts. The Rockets are really putting a heavy load on him early.
At halftime, he played 15 minutes.
Yeah.
At halftime, Ennis only played 13 minutes, to your point earlier about him playing more minutes than Ennis.
Yeah.
And I think right now the Rockets are seeing that, and they toyed with this earlier today, by the way. They toyed with this late in the game. Gary Clark, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, James Harden, Chris Paul. Not James Ennis, who they tried to do it earlier this season, but Gary Clark in that small ball lineup. They struggled a little bit. But that's to be said. It's the first time they're probably played together. Even in practice, they haven't played this lineup together. So I think with more reps, he'll continue to get better. I think possibly Chris Paul and James Harden could use Gary as a screener. We saw some of that tonight. And then get him on a short roll, get him more reps as a passer in those situations to make him a better decision maker. I think teams will also welcome that as well, opposing teams.
Right, and if you use him as a screener, teams often have their worst defender on Gary. So that often gets that worst defender back on Harden or Chris. Mm-hmm. So that's a really effective strategy. I like that look.
Yeah.
And the thing with Gary is... He really needs to get that corner three down. He does. Like
there's two of them. Like I told you in the fourth quarter, missed wide open two shots.
He needs to at least hit them at a 35% rate. I don't think he'll ever get to the point where he's 40%, 38%, or even like close to that range.
He shot well in the preseason. His shot looks good. He just, I guess, maybe more confidence and
he's not shy to shoot them, which is a good thing. Like when he's open, he takes them. Mm. Which is important. Like when you're just not taking those, like that really bogs Houston's offense down. But when you're taking them, the flow is much better. The Rockets can trust you more with passes. And I think that last development in this game, just get that corner three down to 35%. This season, it's not going to go anywhere near 38 to 40%. But if you can get it to 35%, you're playable, and you're playable in some of the most important lineups the Rockets are going to throw out there. You want to talk about Clint Capela's injury here for a second?
I think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
But I think it's a big deal for the good reasons. How it's only a bruise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he bumped knees with Darren Collison today.
He bumped his left knee, setting a screen in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And he went out for the, he was pretty scary. He had to be helped off the floor to the bench.
He could not put any weight on.
Yeah. Yeah. And surprisingly, he came in just a few minutes later, and he talked about how his knee tightened up as he played more minutes. But he was spry in the beginning. He was spry. it's one of those things that I feel like he's going to be sore tomorrow morning, and I feel like it's gonna linger a little bit. And it's a real question as to whether or not he's going to play.
It would surprise me if he plays. Right. He said himself he's probably a maybe.
Right.
With a bruise like that, when you play the Warriors on Thursday, I think the Rockets will be very careful with him. But at the same time, this would be an easier decision if they had Nene.
Yeah.
They're missing Nene. Coach D'Antoni said earlier today that he hopes to have him back soon. He's been saying that for a few weeks. Who knows when that soon is. But, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein can play hard. He's still working on his chemistry and timing with James Harden and Chris Paul in those pick and rolls. If Nene was here, I'd say that you'd be okay, having Nene start. But now, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens because you have Nikola Jokic.
You might have to start Hartenstein
tonight. Someone. He only played eight guys. Eight-man rotation.
And that's out of necessity. You can't play MCW and...
Well, that's my question. If you don't have Capella and you're forced to play PJ at that five, will we see Michael Carter-Williams against Denver? I think we might. If Gerald's not able to play, I think we might.
It's tough.
Because you have length with Michael Carter-Williams defensively.
But he's not good enough defensively to justify playing. Like, Gary Clark is good enough defensively to where his offensive game almost doesn't matter, right? But MCW's his defense is not that, it's not good enough to where you can justify playing him. Like, he's gotten to the point where, like, the real reason, like, a real linchpin for the Rockets run here is they're playing their negative players a lot less minutes, and they're playing their positive players a lot more minutes, and they're getting their guys back. Like, that's been a big reason for this run that's not being talked about enough. Health and just playing guys more minutes and limiting the roles of Carmelo Anthony, of MCW, of Marquise Chris. Those guys cannot play. Like, they are just harmful to the Rockets in their own unique ways, right? Like, Carmelo Anthony is so bad defensively that it's just really, really hard to play him with your best units. And MCW just shrinks the floor for you. Like, he makes you play 4-on-5. I mean, 5-on-4. Yeah, whatever. 4-on-5. I'm sorry. I was right the first time. But yeah, he makes you play 4-on-5 because defenders just back off of you way far.
You know, he's improved his jump shot mechanically. It's more so he's not hitting it. Or not hitting it. He's not hitting it for sure, but he's not shooting it with confidence. He works on that shot every single pregame with Coach John Lucas. He sits there, puts a basketball right there between his elbow and his shoulder, gets the form right, and then starts shooting shots. Keeps a basketball between his knees to help with balance, starts shooting shots. His form is good. I just think his confidence needs to get there.
And I honestly don't think he should be taking those. Like, he is someone I just think should just continue to move. If you're going to play him, which I would be surprised.
So it'd be like a Roberson slash and slide kind of thing?
Just keep on moving. Keep on moving. Because you cannot stand out there in the perimeter. You are hurting Houston's offense by standing there not moving. Like, and I've railed on this way too much, but it's something that needs to be put into his head. Because by standing out there, you're just the court is so small for Harden and Quinn Paul. It's not even a question that he should be moving, because at least that way he's providing with some spacing. And the problem is he's not finishing at the rim well enough to where teams respect his slashing enough. So yeah, I mean, I would be surprised if MCW plays. It's one of those things where they might have to play him because they're just losing bodies left and right. And this Clint Capella injury is something to monitor. But yeah, it's a concern. It's a concern. The Rockets have not gotten their full rotation healthy. Luckily, right now, I would say their five most important players are healthy, minus obviously Clint Capella. Clint Capella is a question mark right now, and that's been a real reason for this run, this mini run. The Rockets aren't anywhere near being back yet, but the reason they've improved so well defensively is they just don't have to play these guys that are backing up Chris Paul and James Harden as much as they had before. Like, they can play Eric Gordon more. They can play three ball units, and it's much more manageable to play your starters heavy minutes than to have to rely on those guys.
I want to, you know, say a quote that Harden said. You know, Harden talked about, you know, are the Rockets getting the shots they want in terms of their falling or not? He says, yeah, for sure. I don't know if it's just guys getting comfortable shooting the shot, some of the newer guys, or whether it's rhythm. Whether it's Eric getting back or myself, just as long as we continue to shoot and have that confidence, they'll fall, they'll start falling. And they did tonight.
Right. And Daryl talked about this in this pregame interview. Like, he felt the same way. We're allowing the shots that we want to allow, and we're shooting the shots that we want to take. They're just not going in. and opponents are shooting a high percentage. I mean, you remember that the beginning of that Spurs game, the Spurs just would not miss. They had a true shooting percentage in the 70s. Like, that was just, it was, they were making the most incredible shots, and it was just demoralizing for the Rockets, and they couldn't hit shots into the end. And I think the more they focus on, okay, let's just make our defense. Let's just make our defense as close to elite as we possibly can. If the jump shots go in, that's fine, but we're going to have to win games. We're going to have to rely on our defense right now, because right now this offense is so bad to where your defense is actually much better. And I think they can do it. Their schedule is really tough. They play Denver next, and they play the Warriors, possibly two of the four best teams in the NBA right now. Like, that's... it's tough, but I mean, I think they can manage to play competently.
This would be a great test right. for the Rockets these next two games. I mean, that being said, I do not want to take away anything from how they played against the Pacers the last two times. Pacers are a legitimate Eastern Conference playoff team.
Right.
And you're able to put together these two performances against an elite defensive team. I think that's awesome if you're a Rockets fan. And I think ultimately with James Harden, and to your point, he's also healthy.
Right.
We're coming off a week, exactly about 8 days since he returned from his injury last Saturday in Chicago. That hamstring, he's able to stop it and go as he did before that injury. I think ultimately James Harden's hamstrings are a big reason why he's able to do what he does. I think today, Salman, we saw how many times that he just sit there, you know, with the dribble, you know, back and forth, then stop and go immediately, start on and decelerate down the court, downhill, and finish over a guy, or stop on a dime and pass to somebody for a three. I mean, that was a James Harden we're used to seeing. A guy who can carry the load offensively. The big reason why he was the best isolation player last year, and a big reason why before the injury, the Rockets were the best isolation offensive team in the NBA.
Right. You want to get to questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I'll let you pick.
All right, man. We got a lot of questions, and I guess we'll go with the ones that did it in that 10-minute time frame. First question, what does your gut tell you will happen with Melo? Cut, minutes reduced, something else?
Yeah, that feels pretty self-explanatory.
I will say, I think Melo could, there is a route of Melo coming back and Melo sticking with this team, but it's ultimately the question of his role. We know right now, Gary Clark, the way he's playing right now, and I didn't have to mention this earlier, he has the full backing of the veterans. Chris Paul is always talking to Gary Clark. PG Tucker is always talking to Gary Clark. They're helping put him in positions for him to be successful. Can Melo take on that diminished role? You know, he's played well against, you know, the lower tier teams, and you'll need him from time to time to help space the floor and knock down shots. But is he willing to take that lessened role? That's going to be the ultimate question mark.
Yeah, I kind of just feel like it's done. Like, I feel like there's been too much reporting by really good reporters to where there's too much there. There's too much smoke there. I feel like the Rockets are going to cut him within the next week. And, you know, good luck to Melo on his next spot. But I really – he's been a pleasure to interview here in Houston. He's been
very honest, straightforward guy.
Yeah, all the players love him. He never had any issue with Mike D'Antoni. Never. That was a big concern for Melo. It seems like they've mended their fences, and I feel like
they were both very optimistic coming in, and the optimism was still there. Yeah, start of the season.
Yeah, and still tonight. I mean, Mike D'Antoni talked about it. I mean, him and Melo are cool. I mean, if they bring him back, D'Antoni will find a role for him. And I just think it didn't work out. It happens. It happens with guys, and it happens especially with minimum guys. It's just one of those things where Melo's at the end of his career. He's the situations and where he's useful are diminishing by the day, and the teams in which he can help. This team isn't on one of those lists. It's not. I do think there's a situation where he can find a role in the NBA and be a positive player again. I wish the best for him. But yeah, as far as his future with the Rockets, I just don't see it going on very long.
I guess we'll see what happens in the coming hours, coming days. Next question. How would you feel about Clark starting at the three? I think we talked about this a little bit in terms of what I'm going to say for my answer. I know Rockets are very high on Gary Clark. I myself am very high. I love talking to the guy. He's great interview. He's a very smart guy. You can definitely tell that. I don't think he's ready to start at the three.
Yeah, me either. I think the spacing is too important with James Ennis, and I feel like the veteran, the time James Ennis has put into this league. I feel
Mike D'Antoni really likes James Ennis. Let's put that out there.
Yeah.
Mike D'Antoni, if you haven't read my piece on James Ennis and who the guy is and why he came to the Rockets. Please do. Was at the Athletic. He said, Coach D'Antoni, you know, wants him to shoot a career high in threes. Coach D'Antoni wants him to do this. Coach D'Antoni is a big reason why James Ennis is here.
Right.
And I don't think James Ennis is leaving that starting lineup barring a significant event from happening.
Right.
James Ennis has played well defensively. Yes, he's, you know, sees some fouls, but he's an aggressive on-ball defender.
The Rockets are playing much better defensively than James Ennis on the floor. It's very, very glaring.
He is important for the way they play. I will pick out, there were certain plays tonight where when I watch Rockets games, I look at more so what's going on off the ball. There were a good amount of plays tonight where he was helping signal where guys should be defensively. He was helping pay. It's like, hey, I got the help side. You go pick up the ball and stunt. Like, whatever. Like, he was pointing out the positions for guys to be in. I think that's a very important quality to have, especially with the starting group. When you have PJ, and if Ennis can slowly become that secondary communicator, those are two guys that are key cogs of that group, especially when teams are going to always switch Capella away from the rim.
Right, yeah. James Ennis is the Trevor Ariza of this year's Rockets, and I would say Gary Clark is trying to fit into the role of Luke Mbamute of last year's Rockets. Yeah, he's I don't think he's ready to start, but he's played really well. Played really well.
Thoughts on going after Batum? That's not happening.
But Batum can be a positive player in the NBA, but his contract is just so absurd.
And he's not getting traded here.
Yeah, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
Would you like to see Melo getting more minutes as a stretch five? How do you see we using him now? I think we've talked about that enough. I kind of went through the pick and pop and post-ups and all that stuff like that. Foresee any big shakeup type moves that would be surprising? What below radar targets do you think the Rockets will look to add?
Damari Carroll. Damari Carroll is a guy I think will get bought out this year by the Brooklyn Nets. And that's a guy I think the Rockets should look at. I think that's someone they thought of when they didn't spend their taxpayer MLE this summer. I think that's someone will be available. Trevor Ariza, obviously, is someone that's been mentioned, will become available. Guys like that, 3-and-D wings like that, I think those are the guys you should be looking for as far as shake-up moves at the end of the roster. As far as any massive trade, I think the Rockets want to see Brandon Knight before they make any sort of conclusive decision on
it. Hey, why don't we talk about Brandon Knight a little bit before we keep going? Solomon and I were sitting, just chilling pre-game, setting up for the game, and both of us noticed Brandon Knight's warming up down on the court with John Lucas, and he looks good.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously he's not in game shape, but he looks good. You know, he went through a couple layup drills.
Knee looks good.
He had no brace on it, no noticeable limp, no noticeable, you know, movement that would signify that he's struggling with anything. He was shooting up threes. His form looked nice. I mean, he looks good. And I asked somebody with the Rockets, you know, when can we expect Brandon Knight back? And there's still no timetable. So when we hear something, you will hear something.
Yeah, they're being really cautious with him, and as they should. ACL injury is no joke. I know we've gotten way farther in modern science with ACL tears.
But I mean, he also had an infection in that knee, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also a significant thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they want to see Brandon Knight before they make any sort of conclusive decision on trading him or not, because that's going to be the biggest piece. If they make a trade this year that's of any sort of significance, it's going to involve Brandon Knight. Mm-hmm. He is the biggest contract that is expendable for the Rockets, and I think the Rockets just want to take a look at him before they make any sort of big trade. But Daryl talked about this, man. They're exploring everything right now. They're a 5-7 basketball team. They should be exploring everything. They're going to look at all options. They're going to look at...
They're not satisfied with their depth right now. 100% they're not satisfied.
Yeah, Daryl, and I guarantee you, Daryl's probably making calls right now. Like they are really active. They're a really active team, and I think they're gonna explore everything. I just think they want to look at Brandon Knight a little bit before they make any sort of big trade. But I would say look at guys like Damari Carroll, look at guys like Trevor Ariza. Those are the guys I think the Rockets will target as the buyout market approaches. But that is pretty far away.
You know, a couple more questions. What vet minimum guys should we bring in what positions? They definitely need some wings.
Yeah.
If you know, my coworker Kelly Eco, another guy who the Rockets beat writer for the Athletic, you know, he talked about Anthony Morrow and Nick Young as two guys to look at as a possibility. If you want to check that out, it's he posted about that a few weeks ago. He wrote a story.
Yeah, the Rockets showed interest in Nick Young like this summer. So yeah, I mean, they're gonna throw some feelers out. I think. Yeah, the wing is definitely of importance right now, especially if Carmelo Anthony leaves. You're going to need to fill those minutes. You're going to need to find guys. And if they truly want to contend this year, you're going to have to go up against the Warriors. And to go up against the Warriors, you need as much switchable wings that can shoot threes as you possibly can. So, yeah, wings at the vet minimum, I think they're going to look at that. And I think they'll use their taxpayer MLE this year. I don't think that's going to disappear suddenly. I think they're going to use
that. Oh, that is definitely being saved for buyout purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess two more questions. How is Hardenstein outplaying Chris for the backup center role? Couple things. Marquise Chris is viewed as a stretch five who can play and is very athletic. However, Isaiah Hardenstein hustles. He has shown great flashes with the team in RGV. Someone may disagree. I think he's going to slowly develop into a backup center they can rely on.
Yeah, Hardenstein's better. Hardenstein's better. I mean, like Marquise Chris, at this point, he needs to be fighting for his role in the NBA. Like he is... I mean, there's a reason a team like Phoenix moves on for him. After what they gave up to get Marquise Chris, to move on from him is no joke.
And like, wait till Nene gets back. Nene will be back.
Yeah.
And when he gets back...
Yeah, he needs to be fighting right now because I just... He's on the fringes of the NBA. Like, he is... There is... I haven't seen any conclusive data to show that he's a positive NBA player.
He has all the athleticism in the world.
Yeah,
but can he put it together?
I don't think so. I mean, it just happens. It happens with guys, and I think as of right now, Hardenstein is going to take up that backup spot. Hardenstein is really, really like he has a nose for the ball, and I think if he can finish better at the rim, that's something he needs to improve.
No, he's actually, you know, playing overseas. He's a good finisher. I think the ultimately why we're not seeing him finish as efficiently as we would want from a center like him is because of timing.
Yeah.
There's times where Harden wants a longer screen and he'll immediately slip. Or there's times where Harden's like, you know, cut this way and he'll stay a little bit longer. I think the timing needs to be better for him. Once that timing is there, like we saw today, the alley-oop pass, he was catching on the way down.
Yeah.
If that timing gets better, I think his scoring will get better. I think teams will respect his gravity a lot more because he can definitely jump.
Yeah, and people always talk about how, oh, Clint Capella must have it really easy here. It's a Taylor Payton misuse. But man, I don't envy any big playing in the system because bigs are asked of a lot here. You're asked to switch all five positions, first of all. Secondly, you have to protect the rim. Third, like, man, those screens are so important in what the Rockets do. Like, they need to have good screen setters, and James Harden is left-handed, Chris Paul is right-handed. That can be really confusing for bigs. Mm-hmm. Like, to know what direction to set that screen at. Like, I know if, like, that would be difficult for me to set. Like, that's a lot. That's a lot to
remember.
Takes
a lot of reps. James Harden, Clint Capella, people forget. They took them 2-3 years to develop at least some sort of good chemistry when Mike D'Antoni came. And after that, their chemistry still wasn't good until halfway through, like, two seasons ago.
Right.
It takes time. Yeah. With Hardenstein, the Rockets really like him. It's just going to take time for him to get adjusted to playing with, number one, willing passers, and number two, getting that timing correct.
Yeah, I'm really high on Hardenstein. I like him a lot. I think he has a real sticking power in this league. He has a definite skill, which is offensive rebounding.
He's one of the most agile bigs I've come across in the NBA in my time.
Yeah, his offensive rebounding, just giving the Rockets second chance. Like, there was a possession yesterday where he had back-to-back offensive rebounds.
It's fourth quarter.
Yeah, and it didn't result in a score, but that really, really energizes the Rockets. And offensive rebounding is at a little bit of a reduced value because the shot clock is now 14 seconds after offensive rebounds. They're still really important. They're still really important in today's league. So I think he'll have a real sticking power in this league. I like him a little bit better than Marquise Chris.
All right, last question. What's your Rockets panic level on a scale of 1 to 10? I think after what I've seen defensively, I'm going to say panic level is a 4 because everybody's coming back healthy. Defensively, they've improved. Offensively, the last two games, they're running their dribble handoffs much more effectively than they did 2 weeks ago. And for me, that's very important to me. That's a very big part of the Rockets' offense. They're getting the shots they want. I think now they're going to start to hopefully fall. And once that happens, we'll see this Rockets team compete at a higher level. And they're not going to get blown out as they did a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and a lot of this really depends on what are you expecting of the Rockets. If you're expecting them to be a contender right now, we're at like a 7 or 8 on the panic meter.
Yeah.
But if you're expecting them to be, what are the chances they're going to be a good team again? You know, I'd say maybe a 4 or 5. Like, they're right now, as of right now, they look like they're on a team headed towards 500. And, you know, that's concerning. Their defense is going to have to carry them before they get their offense going. So I'd say if you're expecting them to be a good team again, 4 or 5, it's really up in the air if they're going to become a good team again. Contender, right now, they shouldn't even be discussing that right now. They should be discussing getting to the playoffs because that's kind of where they're at right now. West 5-7. Man. Yeah, 5-7 in this Western Conference can kill you. That 1-5 start is going to bite them if they don't get it together really quick.
They need to go on a winning streak to get themselves back in it.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough. Again, we mentioned their schedule. They play Denver.
And Tony talked about today. They're in the hard part of their schedule.
Yeah. So they're going to need a month where they play some easy opponents, some Eastern Conference teams to really get going. Any other questions?
I think everything else we've kind of talked about already. So
let's talk about Jimmy Butler. I want to ask you your closing thoughts on the Jimmy Butler saga because the Rockets were a team that was interested in Jimmy Butler and throw out a significant offer. Now, we don't know the full extent of that offer. We don't know the protections on those 4 picks that they offered reportedly, but we do know that they threw out an offer of Marquise Chris, Brandon Knight, and 4 first-round picks. We don't know the protections. I'm going to assume that they were protected significantly on the front end especially, right? And it's one of those things where my initial thoughts were like, man, this is someone that the Rockets were targeting, and I don't think they had any real shot at getting him because I think the Minnesota was eyeing trading him to an Eastern Conference team, which was really discouraging to me. I don't like that whole that logic of only trading with the other conference. That makes no sense to me. I think you should go after the best offer available. So yeah,
I mean it's ultimately they wanted to win now.
Yeah,
and Rocco and Saric given that win now mode. However, I think ultimately with this Rockets team, you see they're going to have 3 veterans if you give us Butler.
Yeah.
3 veterans. How do you know, not even the 2019 pick, but how do you know the 2021 pick won't be a lottery pick?
You don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
I would take, if I was Minnesota, I would have taken that risk of getting the 21, 23rd, and 25th pick because there's a chance 3 of those 4 could be lottery picks and high-end lottery picks.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those things where you get the feeling now through reporting and just reading the tea leaves, the Rockets never seriously put PJ Tucker on the table. They can't. Yeah.
He's their most important defensive player. They have him going for defensive player of the year internally.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those. I just feel like if Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker were both on the table, I think this would have been much easier for the Minnesota Timberwolves to accept. But yeah, my closing thoughts is, it's unfortunate like that he got traded to
Rockets couldn't get the 3rd star, but you know what? They're improving defensively. The shots going in, I think ultimately that optimism you would have gone from a 3rd star is getting here with the offense and the defense and the way they played the last few games.
Yeah. Yeah. And
minus a Thunder game, of course.
And honestly, I like the offer for both teams. Like I like the Sixers going all in and getting Jimmy Butler. I like the return that Minnesota got. I think they fit really well around Karl-Anthony Towns. The jury's still out on if Andrew Wiggins can become a real significant player in this league. Yeah. But Karl-Anthony Towns, I think those are really good fits next to him. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter at RedNationHoops. And where can you follow you, Elicon?
You can follow me at Rockets_Insider. And I just thought of this pun for the whole Melo saga. You know, his is like stay me 7 yo or stay Melo, whatever, with a 7 in it.
Yeah.
Don't stay me 7 yo.
Give us 5 stars on iTunes. And guys, good night.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.